notice my tie today? My mother dressed me up and she put this clip-on tie. It always stayed in place. Now, I tied this thing and it's going like that. So throughout the entire sermon, you can be watching my tie and it's going to do different things. You say, man, he did a lousy job tying that tie. But so I've been trying to straighten it out all morning. I may have to take it out and redo it. But nevertheless, if I was back in sixth grade, I'd have that clip-on. Does anybody have a clip-on tie? Oh, you got one? Praise God. Here it is. And the other problem I had, does anybody, a guy, have this problem? Sometimes I tie it too long, so it's down here, or else I tie it like this, so I look like I'm in, you know, fourth grade, you know, in the first grade English class. But meanwhile, I want you to look at this tie so that you won't concentrate on me. Hallelujah. But it's still good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. You know, I come this Sunday, and I come every Sunday. I never want to, what we used to call, hand it in. I don't come with a thought that, oh, I just want to get through the day. I've come here, I want to be a flowing stream. I always wanted to drink from a flowing stream than a stagnant pool. Amen? So know that in my heart, that my desire is to come and seek the Spirit of God and to be able to present the truth of the Word of Christ. My heart is excited. I am energized to be in the house of the Lord, to see what God might do in our midst, might do in my heart. And I'm always open to be feeling the Spirit of God take me in a direction. So when we come this day, I pray that you've come with that same attitude, that you haven't just come to hand it in. You just didn't come to make your appearance at church today. You've come to experience a deeper walk with Christ. Who wants a deeper walk with Christ this day? And that's the beautiful thing. That's the desire that we have, the anticipation that today is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice in that and all that God has prepared for you. You've not come here again by happenstance. You've not come here even under your own volition. Now, maybe you have, but I'm telling you, I believe God has prepared for you to be here this day at this time so that I might be able to share my heart. And I have prepared my heart looking to the Lord to guide us and to draw us close to the things of God. When we think of getting something from God, this is just a thought of an introduction. We usually think about getting an increase of wealth of some kind. If you thought, well, I'm going to give you something, and you think about getting something. If I was to hold up a cashier's check for $1 million in this hand and a lollipop, and Wesley was here today, what do you think he would go for? I can guarantee you. So would I go for the lollipop, by the way, you know, because I don't have $1 million cashier check. No, but of course, because a three-year-old does not understand the value of a check, a cashier's check, and what that would mean. Who remembers The Price is Right? Bob Barker? You want what's behind this curtain or curtain number two or three? Who, if they won something great in curtain number one, who would vote to turn that in and go for curtain number two? Or would you keep what you have? Who would keep what they have? Who wants to go for curtain number two? No, oh, no gamblers here? You want to keep that? All right, they open curtain number two. It's a brand new Cadillac. And you get to keep your dishwasher. So, maybe that. So now we got curtain number, who wants to turn in their dishwasher for what's behind curtain number three? Who's going to go for curtain number three today? We got one person, curtain number three. Anymore? Another person at curtain number three? Who's going to keep curtain number one, your dishwasher? Right, keeping the dishwasher, okay. We open curtain number three, and it is a brand new turkey. So you turn in your dishwasher, you lose the Cadillac, you get a turkey. So you never know what's behind the door. And Bob Barker always made it very exciting when we thought about that. So what I'm offering here today would cost you more than curtain number one or two. It would cost you the world. What we're offering here at this church today is going to cost you the world. But our mindset when we think about getting something still is material. We have a mindset on receiving something of material value. And that, to us, many times is the most important thing. Many Christians' eyes are focused on the physical blessings of God rather than what they might receive from God would be physical and tangible. God does say that he shall, Paul says, he shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And so we do know that God does supply all that we physically need. And in Peter, 2 Peter 1:3, according to the divine power hath given unto us all things pertaining to life and godliness. God provides all things pertaining. So he gives us our physical blessings and all things pertaining to this life. But the Bible also says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I am fearful that in our mindset of Christendom, we are more centered on what we can get physically from God than what we get spiritually from God. And this is not to offend you or to try and embarrass you, but so many times we see people standing up and thanking God for some physical thing that they have received. And again, not that that is wrong. We should pray for God to supply all of our needs. And when we are blessed amazingly with a deliverance of some kind, we should be thankful to God for that. I believe that we have too few testimonies in this church. Amen? We should stand up and testify when God does something. But the main thought I have is that God has given us already some phenomenal blessings. And the blessings I'm thinking about, I feel like it's in 2 Kings chapter 7 where the Syrians are coming against Israel. And in the middle of the night, God sends a delusion, a sound of an army. And all the Syrians run away. And for miles, they're throwing off their clothes and just trying to get away because they think they're going to get killed. So the next morning, Israel still sees all their tents and over camped against them. And there happened to be four lepers. You know, a leopard wasn't allowed in the city. So there's four four lepers. That are near the camp, and they see that nobody's near the camp. They said, "You know, we might as well throw ourselves on the Syrians because we can't go into the city. There's no food left, and even if we throw ourselves over there, the worst they can do is kill us, and we're going to die anyhow because of starvation." So they go over to the Syrian camp and are going to surrender to them. And when they walk in the Syrian camp, everybody's left. There's nothing left but everything that they had. I mean, all kinds of food and provision that they had prepared for the attack. And so they go in and they start to take all this food and they're taking it and hiding it and money and whatever jewelry they can find. And then they say, you know, we're not doing the right thing. We've got a great blessing here. We should go back and share it with the people in Israel. So the reason I say that is I feel like one of the lepers today. Because we have had a wonderful Bible study on Wednesday. And I've begun the book of Ephesians at the encouragement of John Todorisi. He likes that book. And we couldn't get past like the first three verses because in the third verse, one of the most beautiful things is pointed out to me. And I just have to share and expand upon what God just encouraged my heart in. And I feel it encouraged all our hearts. And I would like to encourage you with this day with the things that we have seen as the enemy has fled and Christ has come and given us a bounty. And I only read this one verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I got to say that again. Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I thank God for that. Whom do we bless for the things that we have been given? God. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God. We should constantly be lifting up a blessing to God this is a bit of an exhortation to you to get off your moaning and complaining about the things of the world. You should be blessing God. Bless God for all he's done. That's what we should do. We should be blessing God. Praise God. Bless God Almighty. Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. Just bless him for who he is. He's your God. Bless God for all he's done. I want to begin to bless God more regularly and see us blessing God. I wish you'd stand up with a testimony and bless God for what he's done in your life and what he's done in all of our lives. Thank God for his goodness. Bless God. And who has blessed us? God Almighty. We bless God who has blessed us, as he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. We bless God. We reflect back to him the blessing that he has given us. And with what he has blessed us, all spiritual blessings. All. You know, there hasn't been anything lacking to you of the spiritual blessings that Christ has prepared for you. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has entered into the heart of men the things that God has prepared for them that love him, but he has shown them to us by the Spirit. And in our spirit, we know that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. And from whence do they come? Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. We've been blessed from the heavenly realm. It is the heavenly realm. Christ came from heaven to us. And the Bible says, through whom are we blessed? And we are all blessed through Jesus Christ. As many as received him, I have been saying again and again, if you have received Christ, you have these blessings. I want you to concentrate on this day. And what, looking at these, and I just want to delve into this even more so as to maybe the character of these or I want you to know that the aspects, one of the aspects of these, or the aspects of these, is they are already accomplished. This is nothing that has to be given in the future. All these things have already been accomplished for you, these blessings that Christ has for you. And I'd like to delineate these in a few moments, but just to get this in your mind, This is salvation in the past tense, in the sense that it is already taken care of from the guilt and from the penalty and from the condemnation of sin. That has been taken care of. Do you realize when you came to Christ, the guilt, the condemnation, and the penalty of sin has been removed and you have been blessed with freedom from that? What a blessing to know that I am guilt-free, condemnation-free, sin-free by the blood of Jesus Christ. All in Christ. If that doesn't thrill you, then you've not grasped the contemplation of that. You don't know the difference between a lollipop and a cashier's check for $1 million. Christ has already given you that. I don't want to compare with money. Not by silver, not by gold. The blessings of God are beyond that. All I want to do is make the comparison that you need to see the difference between worldly lollipops and the blessings, the spiritual blessings of Christ given to you already, already given to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's a difference between the drawing, convicting work of the Holy Spirit for the unsaved when he is convicted and convinced of his sin. That's a work of God that brings the unsaved in. But the things that are already accomplished for us are the outworking of that salvation. They are accomplished by that outworking of salvation. Louis Sperry Chafer, I always liked him, although he's not a Pentecostal type, but he was a great theologian and the founder of the Dallas Theological Seminary, which is a Baptist seminary. But even the Baptists know a little bit. Now, a great denomination, they love the Lord Jesus Christ, And, you know, just a little aside here. Our criteria for fellowship is not based on the agreement with every single doctrine that is held by this specific church. The basis of our fellowship is based on the shed blood of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's what it is. There is one God and one Father of our God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, begotten, not made, one in being with the Father. Jesus Christ never began to exist. He has always been with the Father. We believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the blood of Jesus Christ that has saved us from our sins. If you believe that, that he died, that he rose again, and ascended into heaven, is coming again, then we fellowship with you. We're not making restrictions, and that's just an aside. That should be one of the main points we constantly think. As to fellowship, we want to fellowship with those that love the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart and not put any doctrinal distinctions that would separate us from fellowship with you. But these things that have been accomplished for us, looking at just a few thoughts, They're not, in a sense, experienced, in the sense that you don't experience justification. Now, you may experience the results of justification. Justification means, and they used to say it was just as if I'd never sinned, but I never quite liked that because I did sin. It was, and Christ had to bear all that sin. But the justification is that I am no longer condemned for that sin the moment I receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. It's nothing I had to do. It's nothing I had to experience. All I had to do was step into that which was already provided at the cross of Calvary. We didn't have to come into great experience of that. Maybe many people don't even know that all of the different nuances or what is a part of salvation. But justification is that you are just now where you were not just before, and you stepped into that. And when you think about that, the Christian blessings to you are not progressive. You don't progressively come to justification. You don't progressively have a relationship with God. Yes, it may grow in the grace and the knowledge, but it is something you are automatically. They said, I am a friend of God. The moment you receive Christ, you are his friend. You don't have to, you can grow in that friendship, but the moment you enter in, you are adopted as a child of God. You don't progress in that. That is something you receive at the moment of salvation. What a blessing that is. So much more than that lollipop. So much more than any infinitesimal thing that you might desire in this material world. And it's not ever done by human merit. The things that are given us freely in Christ cannot be gained by anything that I could give, or it would be a slap in the face to Jesus Christ. He has purchased my salvation by the blood that he has shed on the cross of Calvary. I have entered in freely by the faith that he placed in my very heart. It is all about Christ, all about God. There's no merit that I could ever present. My good works are as filthy rags when I try to present them as any means of acceptance before my Lord and Savior. Filthy rags, leprous. No human merit is required or could ever be valued enough to attain spiritual blessings that Christ has provided for us. And the blessings that we have, I've seen Wesley go through a lollipop in about 2 minutes. But the blessings of Christ are eternal. Wow. Do you realize that? It's eternal life, not temporal life. You will be fellowshipping and feeding on Christ for eternity, forever and ever. What a joy. Now that's a blessing. That's better than an all-day sucker. It's the blessing of Christ for eternity. I don't even grasp eternity. I just know it's a long time. It's eternal. it has no end. I will live and reign with Christ forever and ever and ever. And there's no end. There's no end. There's no end. I thank God for that truth. Just chew on that for a while. Just chew on the fact that the blessings of God for you that have received Christ are already eternal. Nothing you have to work on. You don't have to keep spinning the top. You don't have to keep it going. It's already going to go. It's a perpetual motion of the love of Christ forever and ever. And this is nothing that you just can think out. It's given by God. It's a divine revelation. It is to a Christian. Unless you know Christ, you don't know what the blessings are. Because once you are in the blessings of Christ, they are divinely unfolded to you by the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit that quickeneth your mind to receive the blessings of God. You've already received them, but to unfold the truth of them to you. And I think that in Christendom, many people have not had the blessings of Christ unfolded to them, that they realize that it is so much, they are so much more valuable than anything else you could conceive of or name. Too many times we see Christendom promoting physical blessings. Again, not that the physical blessings shouldn't be thought about, but why would I want lesser when I can have it all? Why would I want anything temporal when I can have eternity in Christ? Thank God Almighty. What are these? And I'm calling them positional spiritual blessings. I've been a whole lot with judicial and positional throughout this last while, but everything I'm talking about when I speak about judicial or experiential, judicial is what is granted in the court. Experiential is something that you obviously experience. Positional is something that you are there already, and maybe attaining to that position is something that you would work out through sanctification. But you can't attain to the positional things that have already been granted to you. So I'm entitling these positional spiritual blessings because they are already yours. Already you have them. First of all, Jesus is the source of all spiritual blessing. When it says that, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. It's in Christ. You're not going to have the spiritual blessings outside of Christ. I don't care how good another religion seems to be, they do not have Christ. And there is no other God but Jesus Christ. If any man preach another gospel than this, the Bible says, let him be accursed. Because he's bringing a curse. Every other religion that purports to be a way to come to God without Jesus Christ is a damnation, is a curse, is awful, shouldn't be thought about. There's only one Savior, and that's the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1 presents just in the first chapter, about seven different positional spiritual blessings. But I've seen, you come up with a list of 40, 50, and maybe even more than that as you look throughout the Word of God. But these I just wanted to share with you. A love for whom, and I'm going to say this, first of all, because a couple of times the word, and we're going to study this in our Wednesday Bible study, the word elect and predestination come up. Here's the understanding with elect and predestination. Predestination is, as to a Calvinistic view, means that God said, okay, these people are going to be saved and these people are going to go to hell. I mean, maybe that's hyper-Calvinism. We don't say that. We say whoever shall believe in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. We believe it's a gospel to whosoever will. But as to election and predestination, two scriptures that have always been hallmarks for me in this understanding, It says in Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Whom he did foreknow, God knew before the creation of the world who would come to him. He didn't make them come to him, but he did know. And those that he knew would come to him and be in Christ would be blessed in Christ. For he did foreknow that. And he provided that if any man be in Christ, he would be a new creature. And when did this election take place? When did he elect those that were foreknown? Why, it says in 1 Peter 1:2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And so, the election and the predestination, in my concept and in the way we present it here, is that God foreknew from all time what would transpire. But yet, he has given us free will to make that choice. To make that choice. Now, I know that this is not an example of predestination or foreknowledge, but when I said to you about holding up that cashier's check and the lollipop, each one of you knew which one Wesley would take. Again, which would he take? The lollipop. But that's not the way it works with God. It isn't because he understands the characteristics of us. No, he knows. God does not live in time. He is in every place of time from the beginning of time to the end of time. And before time began, God is in the instance. He is there in the presence. A billion years is the present to Christ, as a billion years later is the present to Christ. He is there. It's not he can be there. He knows. He's there. He is omnipresent. He knows all things because he is omniscient, or he is omniscient because he knows all things. He knows all things. He's all powerful. He never changes. He is immutable. He is eternal. He is infinite. You know what I love about the other, not only the attributes of God and those eternal attributes that he has, but the fact that if he was some kind of malevolent God, that he just would at divine fiat make everyone die, but he's not that. Do you know God almost is housed in, or not locked in any way, but he is encompassed by his love. Everything God does of his eternal powers, he does in perfect love. That is why you can trust God. You never have to think that, well, maybe God's going to have a bad day. God has never had a bad day. Never had a bad day. He is always good, always kind, always merciful, always gracious, always love. That's something you can depend on. You can rest on. I don't come to God. I don't have to say, oh, gee, I hope you feel good today, God. How are things going with you? You just go. He loves you all the time. All the time. Thank God for that. But I want to look at a few of these blessings just because they're so exciting to me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Then it says in verse 4, we're going to go through this again, John. Don't worry about Ephesians. I'm going to do it all over again, but with other insights too. According as he has, get this word, chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, whom he did foreknow, he knew, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. He foreknew you. He foreknew Paul. He foreknew Mary. He foreknew me. He foreknew Brad. He knew from all eternity past that you would be here today, sitting here, hearing that you have been chosen. Who are the chosen out there? We're chosen, and thank God. that it is God that chose me. I mean, if we were picking up teams and I chose you to be in my team, big deal. But God chose you. You have been chosen by the eternal God to be in Christ forever and ever. Doesn't that thrill you? It thrills me to know that I have been chosen in that respect. I have been chosen by God Almighty. I'm on his team. I thank God for that. Shalom Aleichem. All right. Hallelujah. And I live as a chosen one. I'm telling you, when I came here this day, those thoughts were rolling in my mind that I have been chosen of God. Separated unto a good purpose that God has chosen me for and chosen you for. And I want to make you aware of that, that you are a chosen one. You are not inferior. There are no inferior Christians, but there are those that live an inferior understanding of that because they think the lollipop is more valuable than the spiritual blessings of God. Or they have not considered the spiritual blessings of God. But consider that this day, that you are chosen by the creator of the universe. In verse 5, it says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Now, what a joy to know that not only, as Michael said, I am a friend of God, but he also said, I am a child of God. For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even those that believed on his name, I am a son of God. Who out there is a son or a daughter of God? I mean, I've said this. I keep on reverting to this. In fact, I'll tell you this. In the epistles, when it speaks about the aspects of God, it's usually about two things are prevalent in the epistles. That first one being the positional things that we have in God, those positional blessings through salvation in Christ. And then the other thing is our progressive growth in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which would be referred to as sanctification. And those two things have been what I've preached about, and what I've preached about even more so than salvation, although I consider myself to have an evangelist's heart. I speak about sanctification most all the time. It's how we can grow into Christ and how we can be separated from the world. And so those things are constantly going on in my heart as presenting to you. But with the knowledge of this also, what you have already have in Christ, I never want you to lay that aside. You are adopted as children of the living God. Now that doesn't, I mean, I thank God that God has given me two wonderful sons. And I hope that they're happy to be my children. And my greatest prayer for them is that they would come to Jesus Christ, and they have. I could pray nothing greater than that they know Christ as their Savior, and they have believing wives, and now their children are going to be led up in the things of Christ. I couldn't want anything better for them. But say that I was the richest monarch or the richest king in the world, and I could give them all things, and they'd have all the blessings that a king could hand down. You know, a king can't give this. He can't give eternal life. He can't give the blessings, the spiritual blessings that only God can give us. He can't give that. And so I am more thankful that my children are sons of the living God than I am thankful that they are my sons. The greatest joy I have is that they have left my family and now are part of a greater family, the family of God. That's who they belong to. It's no longer them that live, but Christ that liveth in them. And I thank God that, and I freely hand them over to their heavenly Father and thank God for that. Hallelujah. And so now we have that you are chosen, and I can't say even more than chosen, but in addition to being chosen as being taken out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. You are adopted as sons and daughters of the living God. And now the Bible said that not only you are adopted as sons, but now you are accepted in the beloved. You are accepted in and through and by Jesus Christ. And now it is now you are seated with Christ in heavenly places because Christ is there. That's where you are also. Because Christ has ascended, you in essence have ascended with him in the person of Christ, and that will be experienced in the ages to come whenever Christ returns. But you are accepted in the beloved. And I don't know if we're grasping the import of that you are made acceptable because of what Christ has done. And you are in him because of what he has done. And you are now no longer your own. You're bought with a price. You are part of Christ. You are part of his. You are the body. He is the head. What a joy to know that I am accepted in the beloved. I am chosen. I am adopted. I am accepted in the beloved. Oh, by the eternal God and Savior Jesus Christ. These are spiritual blessings. You can't buy this at the store. You can't get it on the earth. You can only get it from Christ Almighty. And he's not selling it. He's giving it away because of his great love for you. It says, in whom we have redemption. And that word redemption has always been a key word to me. And I've done a little bit of a study on that where it is as one has gone into the marketplace and has redeemed something that was for sale. Exazarazo means to take it out of the marketplace. Lutro means to loosen it from the bondage that it was in. We have been taken out of the marketplace and we have been set up for not to be sold again. I've been bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. I have been redeemed. I think I mentioned this before, but anybody ever collect green stamps? If you're from Pennsylvania, maybe you know what green stamps are. So you'd get these stamps when you bought something at the store, and you'd put them in a little book, and then they had a redemption center, and you would go, you turn in the green stamps, and then you could redeem them for a gift or something they had there, a toaster or whatever. And we had people that were saving green stamps. And I think there were about 5 calories in each one of those stamps. And you could convince somebody not to lick those, but to give them to you, lest they gain weight. God has redeemed me from the curse of the law, that being dead wherein I was held, that I should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. I have been redeemed. I am redeemed, but not with silver. I am bought, but not with gold. Bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. Precious love of God untold. Hallelujah. Some of the words were right in that, but I know the feeling was. But I have been redeemed. You have been redeemed. That is a spiritual blessing that is worth more than anything you could ever want on this earth. More than anything. You have been redeemed. You have been chosen. You have been adopted. You've been accepted in the beloved. And you have been redeemed. This is nothing earthly. It's all in the heavenly realm that has been given to you already in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, this one almost floors me. The next two are very exciting. Now, see those till next week. No, I'm kidding you. I'm almost done though. This next one I love because in verse 11 it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. When I pass on, Eric and Michael are going to get the house, the car, the dog, my mother-in-law. Everything else I have, they're going to get. But you know, even before we pass on, we have an inheritance. Everything that Christ has, is given to you. Is given to you freely. You are now joint heirs with Jesus. Whoa. I mean, come on. That is phenomenal. If you ever felt that you got shorted in the distribution of things, God has said, you are my son and you have inherited all things in Christ Jesus. You have obtained an inheritance that cannot be taken away. You are heirs with Christ as your brother. What a joy. What a joy to know that I have obtained an inheritance in him. Thank God for that. Thank God that I have been chosen in Christ Almighty before even the world began. He knew that I would come to him. I thank God for the goodness of his love. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And lastly, this is the earnest of our expectation. This spiritual blessing has been given to us by God. And I'm only saying lastly because last in this little list, there are many other blessings. But the Bible said you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. When I understood, I can't say that I've ever understood anything about God, but when I comprehended a little bit about the Holy Spirit moving in my life, I was just thrilled to know that I wasn't in this alone. And I had a thought I wanted to share with you. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, or who Christ in us, the hope of salvation. But I want you to also know this. Where is Christ now? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He said, I'm going to go to the Father, but I will send another comforter that he may be with you always. Who is the comforter now? The Holy Spirit is in you. Christ is in you in the person of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of Christ. The physical body of Christ is, or whatever aspect, that glorified body of Christ is with at the right hand of the Father, but the Spirit of Christ is in me. If Christ is in you, the Spirit of God is in you. If the Spirit of God is in you, Christ is in you, the hope of glory. You have been sealed by that Holy Spirit. What does that sealing mean? That means that nothing could get in and take you away from Christ. You have been sealed like a tomb. You have been sealed more than that. You have been sealed and said, you cannot pass this place. I have sealed him as my own. I am locked in with Christ. And I'm not going to leave there. Locked in. And you know the beauty of this sealing is that every time Satan would try to destroy me, he has to look at that seal of the Holy Ghost in my life. Whenever Satan tries to attack me, I just show him my seal. See that? I get the seal of the Holy Ghost on my life. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit. And you know who else is going to see that? When the Lord himself should descend from the heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, the Bible says the dead in Christ, those who have died with the seal of Christ upon them, shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And we ourselves, which are alive and remain, shall also be caught up with them because we've been sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise. What spiritual blessings. And so, I hope that you can grasp, as I am seeking to in my own life, a portion of the beauty of the things that have been already prepared for you, for them that love him, not only in the eternals or in the heavenlies, but in your own life now, you have been judicially sealed by Christ, positionally glorified with him. And what a joy that I experience all of the effects of those blessings in my life here and now. Be- because I don't walk around with a heavy heart, because I'm a child of God, because I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit, because I'm accepted in the Beloved, because I am chosen, because Christ loves me. That's why I experience that joy of Jesus Christ. And so I ask you this. If you have been risen with Christ in this newness of life, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Colossians 3:2, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, not on the lollipops of this life, but on the spiritual blessings which have been purchased for you. Christ's ascension is the means by which we are introduced into these heavenly blessings. I thank God that I have been aware of the truth of these things. And I want you to be thankful for that. Again, never negating the thought that he provides all of our need according to his riches and glory. But I would challenge you this day that if you have not thought of the beauties of the eternal spiritual positional blessings of Christ in your life, that from now on, you begin to put them as first place. Seek ye first the things of God, and all the temporal things will be added to you. More so than that, the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And as you have the abundance of the spiritual blessings of Christ, then the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the craving for more of this world will slowly be diminished in your life as you look into the blessings of Christ. You will not love the world nor the things in the world, for all that is of the world is of the evil one. All the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You will find the beauty of Jesus Christ in the simplest things of life, in opening the Word of God. Spurgeon said, which is better? Eternal life in Jesus Christ or a new coat? Which is better, to feed on the Lord Jesus Christ or to sup at the greatest table spread for you? Which is greater, to be heirs of a king or to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ? What a beautiful truth that is, to know that the spiritual blessings of Christ have been given to each one of you, to us, to the church of the living God. And we dabble in incidentals rather than glorying in the blessings that have been showered upon us through Jesus Christ. I pray that this would be the day that you say, I will concentrate, I will meditate, I will contemplate the beauties that have been showered upon me in the positional spiritual blessings of Jesus Christ. May God bless you. Amen.